What's up, ladies and gentlemen? I know I said it last week, but welcome in to episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Last week was actually episode 6. We're on episode 7 of the Mile Hybrid Show, where we talk about everything related to hybrid fitness. Rich, Ryan, and myself holding it down for the Denver, Colorado area, Mile High City.
Out
Mile
here.
Hybrid Podcast, Mile Hybrid Show.
That's the name. That's why it's like that. Seven was episode 7 again. What's your favorite number? I didn't know your favorite color was green.
We've got something in common, Rich, other than fitness.
I like want my favorite color to be green because like I'm very Irish. My birthday is actually on St. Patrick's Day. It's like it all just like,
what?
Yeah. My Richard Patrick Ryan, born on St. Patrick's Day. I'm as Irish as they come, bruh.
That's pretty damn Irish.
Irish. So I want green to be my favorite color, but I think it's actually blue, but I still say it's green.
Blue was my favorite color growing up, but I think as I got older, I got more in touch with green because of like trail running and being out in nature and things. And green kind of symbolized life in a way. And I kind of changed it. Somewhere along the line, I changed my favorite color.
I like that because it's not just a matter of like the clothing that you'd wear or the aesthetic of something. It's just like what it actually means and brings. And it's about that, them dollars, dude.
No doubt
about that. What's your favorite number? Is it 7? Since we're on episode 7 of
eight.
All the time, your favorite number is 8.
And I don't fuck with odd numbers.
No, ever.
That's bad luck, dude. Like anything.
That's true. 7's lucky.
That's what you think. That's what they want you to think.
Well, they don't want you to win. Let's see how this episode goes and if it's true or not. So 8.
8.
That's cool. That's cool. Like infinity.
What's your favorite number?
My number in like basketball is 14. So that's just, and ran for 14. So in high school, it all makes sense then. That's how I'm keeping it.
I was born in the 80s. So maybe that's where it originated from.
Same.
I don't know. Yeah.
Also born in the 80s. So what's up, man? We hung out this weekend.
We did a thing. Should we? I mean, that could be both of our workout of the week if we really want it to be.
Let's just talk about that workout. So like we talked about this before about how, I don't know if we've talked about it on air, but basically some of these workouts that we do when they are then written, it's like very hard to, they don't translate very well through speech. And this one
really will do it, dude. But you know what? That's hybrid training in a nutshell. You know, sometimes it is as simple as rowing or skiing or running. But then, you know, when you get into the real specifics of an event and you're dialing that piece into a training session, there's a lot of details involved. And this one required about as many as you can get.
All right. I
don't even know how you want to begin to like break this down, but
let me. All right, why don't you just say what it was, and we'll try to get some sort of written version of this either on Instagram or Instagram's probably the best place for that. But we'll make some kind of post, and we did make a collaborative post that didn't tell about the workout, but we'll get this workout in writing out there for you. For maybe we even drop it in the show notes. I'm not sure, so just go ahead and read it. I sat down. I actually sent it to Meg and I was just talking to her for a second and I was like, this workout was like pretty legit. You should give it a shot. She's like, all right, send it over to me. And I like completely froze in that moment. I was like, I can't type this on my phone. I had like sit at my computer and type it out.
It'd be lengthy for sure. But it was essentially just a very long E2 mom broken up into two big sets. Each set was roughly 25 minutes, and then you had a half mile jog / 5 minute rest before you started the second round. So again, it was an E2 mom. Some people want you say like EMOTM. I like to just say E2 mom.
Yeah, I don't know why I have the T in there. I just do it.
So essentially, it's just you do these movements or exercises, and however long it takes you, if it takes you a minute, you get a minute rest. If it takes you a minute 10, you get 50 seconds rest. That's just kind of how it works. The first segment of this was 30 reverse lunges right into a 200 meter row, which took a minute 15, minute 20, something like that. So we had about 40 seconds. I think for the majority of this workout, it was almost like a 2-to-1 work to recovery ratio, I'd say.
I feel like we had between 20 and 40 seconds of recovery, depending on when we weren't feeling like pushing the pace on some, or some of them just took a little bit longer. Like the run, well, I will get to it, but the run portion wasn't longer than I wanted it to take.
Yeah, for sure. And you made a good point too when we were in the middle of the workout that we were doing DECA movements, but it quickly turned into a Hyrox effort. You know, the further we got into this workout, which was honestly great because it kind of killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah. You know? I really enjoyed the workout because of that, because it felt like the sharpening of what we needed for DECA, but also by the back, I don't know, quarter to third, it was like a grind like Hyrox.
Mm-hmm.
All right, keep going.
All right, keep going. So the first one was 30 reverse lunges right into 200 meter row, then rest until the 2 minute mark. The next one was whatever you ended with, you then started with on the next one. So you finished with the 200 meter row. Now we start with it 200 meter row into 20 box jumps,
mm-hmm.
then 20 box jumps into 25 DECA sit-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Then we sprinkle in a 400 on the next piece. No movements, no exercises, just pure running, 400 meter run.
What was the thought of that when you built that? When it was happening, like I was fine with it. Like, and I liked this workout at almost top to bottom, but why were you like, okay, let's put in a 400 here?
Cause I mean, let's work on some compromise running, you know, like 400 is pretty much the distance in DECA fit, you know, minus 100 meters. So, you know, let's really fatigue our body and then let's sprinkle in a little bit of running in there too.
And that just kind of like round and like a good every four rounds or whatever, throwing a 400.
Yep.
Cool. Okay.
Yep. So after the 400 meter run, remember before we did the 400, we ended with the 25 sit-ups. Yep. So after the 400, we then start with the 25 sit-ups into 200 meter ski. So same distance as you did on the row. The next one was 200 meter ski into 60 meter farmer carry holding the 80 pounders. So we bumped up the weight on that.
80 dumbbells.
80 pound dumbbells.
That was heavy.
Which I'm not going to lie, my grip was holding on by a thread there by the end of this workout.
Oh yeah.
And then 60 meter farmer carry into 20 calorie assault bike.
You were like, hey, let's do 25. Kind of like, I'm not sure if that's what we want to do here.
I wrote that down because I did this workout like a month ago. I wrote down that I did 25 cal. And as I was in it, I was thinking, there's no way I did 25 cal here.
you did the same exact thing.
Let's modify this on the fly here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So 60 meter farmer carry with the 80s into a 20 cal bike, rest until the 2 minute mark. And then again, we insert now another 400 meter run for the next part, which I'll be honest, dude, like I ended up settling into this first round, like high fives. I'm not going to lie, like 540s, 550.
We were also on the assault runner, and you have a new assault runner. So that thing is like calibrated to the way that it's supposed to be. I've been on other ones that feel a little bit faster. I don't know if the belts are just looser, but those are inconsistent. The self-propelled treadmills for sure. And I've found when they're like calibrated to what the standard is for assault, that they're slow. And I think there's been some studies. I've tried so hard to kind of figure out how this works, but there's been studies that kind of says it's 30% more effort in terms of, I think they use like respiration rate and RPE and a couple different metrics, a heart rate. They use a couple different metrics to be like, okay, this is about 30% harder than regular running, but I don't know how that translates to like pace. Mm-hmm. It can't be 30% slower. I don't think it works like that. But I'd say like 10 seconds slower per mile. It's
and you know, we're at my house is at right at 6,400 feet too. So we're in the thin air.
There's 64 up there.
64. Yeah. Okay. So after the 400, we go into, again, we ended before the 400 with the 20 cal bike. So now we start with it, 20 cal bike into over the shoulder toss or zone 8 in DECA times 10 with the 60 pounder. Then we start the next one over the shoulder toss times 10 into the tank times 40 meters. So down and back twice. And then initially it was, the next one was going to be tank times 40 meters into 8 ram burpees, but we realized there was going to be a little bit of overlap because you were always, we staggered our start. You were 2 minutes behind me. So we adjusted on the second piece of the tank where we started with the tank. We changed it from 40 meters to 20 meters so I could get out of there before you got in there.
Yep.
And we upped the reps from 8 ram burpees to 12. And then after that one was another 400 meter run. So 3 400s per round or per whatever you want to call it. And then the last one, we ended with 15 thrusters with 105 pounds. And when you finish those 15 thrusters, you immediately go into your half mile jog. And then if you, again, half mile jog / 5 minute rest. So, you know, if it took you 4 minutes to do the half mile jog, you would get a minute of just kind of standing around, drinking some water, catching your breath, wiping the sweat off. And then you would start all the way back over again at the 30 reverse lunges into the 200 meter row. And then just
two full rounds.
Yeah. Two full rounds. And the whole thing took an hour. It was an hour
on the
long.
Nose.
Yeah.
It took about as long as it took for you to read that workout. I think it's been an hour.
About, we gotta
wrap the show up.
We probably lost all the listeners.
The show's over.
You need your pen and paper as you're listening to this, but it was a great workout. And I just throw the thrusters in there at the end to just kind of really spice it up. You know, I think thrusters are the most compromising movement you can do. You know, when you go into that run, even that cool down jog right after that did not feel good.
No.
At all.
I was going very, very leisurely pace on that one. And I got back and you already started. I was like, oh no. I was like, you're starting already? Fuck. So like, all right, let's see. So basically it was, how many of these rounds were these? 1, 2, 3. There's 12, right? 13 E2 moms.
Yep.
Times 2. So if you want, if you're listening and you wanted to, and we had a very specific DECA focus. So if you're to write something like this on your own, yeah, it was like 2 full rounds of 26 minutes, every minute on the second minute for 26 minutes, and then doing specific workouts that would give you 20 to 40 seconds rest. 5 minute rest, 800 meter run at the end of the round as your recovery. And for 2 rounds. Yeah. So I think that's, if we could explain it in a way, a little bit more
thrusters,
succinct.
The thrusters were the only part of this that was not included as a E2 mom. It was just finish the 15 thrusters and get out the door for your cool down, which Rich broke on rep 14.
I did.
Wanted to go.
I had a real hard time at the end of round one, that run and then the thruster. I was like, I am not good. And then the next round, like, I did almost exactly the same. So I was good. I just didn't want to do it that day.
Your boy got a little weak on round two on that assault bike.
You owe me five calories. I got five calories on you, dog.
Like, I was like, dude, let's change
it.
I'm doing 15 cals, dude. I need to regroup here. On that second round, on the assault bike, and then the 400 after that, I was definitely just like not, I just wasn't trying to lean into that pain all that much, man. I was like, nah, I'm good.
So I'm good. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I actually did a high rock sim today. And for the reason, signed up for Spain, I'm going. Got about 8 weeks, but I wanted to see like where I'm at so I can really set myself up to have some sort of like loose structure. I'm not going to be as rigid in my training, but I want like 80% of my stuff to like have some sort of build and figure out where it needs to go. So I wanted to kick things off with a sim just to remind myself how it starts. My thought, this was, I don't know if this was smart or me just being a knucklehead, where I was like, I'm going to wait until it gets kind of hot out. I wanted it to be warmer. It can be hot for inside the Hyrox events. Some places do a little bit better than others in terms of keeping the AC. But I started at like noon. And by the time I got to the row, I was not in a good spot. My runs were pretty consistent and fairly strong, but my stations fell apart pretty bad from basically row and farmers were really bad, and my wall balls weren't very good either. But it was kind of that same kind of feeling that you were just talking about. It's like, do I really want to take it there right now? Do I want to take it there and be there for, in this case, for 25 more minutes? Like, is this really where I want to put that out? And is that, like, how sustainable is something like that? Should it be taken into the well every session?
I mean, you got to think too. You just what we just spent 15 minutes trying to explain was just 2 days prior. You know, that was still lingering in your body. And it makes sense that the running felt good because we only did 6x400 in that workout. But as far as the station work went, we pretty much tapped that out. Mm-hmm. So it would make sense that your station work was kind of suffering a little bit because we overdid that 2 days ago. But the running piece,
I was cruising. You want to guess how long farmers took me?
Two twelve.
4 minutes. I was four? It just wasn't happening today. I was just like, pick it up, it'd be so heavy. I'd be like, oh my God. And the row before it didn't go really through. That was so I finished the sim in like 62:20 something. The runs were almost 1,000 on the nose. So maybe it was a little bit more than 1,000. So the running portion of my sim is probably less than what we would have at regular Hyrox with run and rock zone. Like, I probably had a very condensed rock zone for that. So when I'm looking at it, like, all right, in real life, there's 2 minutes just right there on the end of my wall balls were like 4:40 or something like that. So there's like time right there. But by the time I was there, I don't know if it was the heat, because my runs did feel good. I wasn't totally exhausted, but I just wasn't having it. And do you go unbroken with the kettlebells that you have when doing 200?
Most of the time.
Yeah. I think they're harder than what they have at Hyrox.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a wider handle.
Yeah, it's like the powder coated, like, yeah, the ones that we're talking about, like the powder coated ones that they sell, like for like Rogue, or you got yours, there's a rep, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ones they use are, I think they're called like performance kettlebells.
With like the silver.
Yeah.
It's like a little, like it's not textured the same way and it's not as thick. So it just feels better, especially, and if you get chalk and have chalk, it just wasn't happening for me today on that Farmers.
That's ballsy, dude. There's no way. I mean, granted, yesterday I did almost 90 minutes with VJ on the trails, and which was like my longest run in like 2+ months.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have done a Hyrox sim today. Like, zero chance.
And I wasn't really for the time. I've never done a sim from my location or whatever. I'm not too worried about what that was, but I wanted to remember what it was going to kind of feel like before I kind of set a trajectory of how I wanted to train for the next 8 weeks or something like that. And just see where I was from the previous like 8 weeks or so of what I've been doing. Overall, I'm like kind of happy about it because I don't feel awful right now, you know? And that's another thing too. It's like how much different an effort in racing versus just training.
What were you pushing? Just like on the mats?
I have this carpet that I roll out.
Oh, I thought you said you went to a gym. You did it at your house, like in your neighborhood house and stuff?
Yep. I've almost like, and the run's a little bit downhill to start and uphill to come back, which I think is worse because I come up and I'm working uphill coming into a station every time. Mm-hmm. But it feels good coming out of the stations, that's for sure. So, yeah.
How the lunges go?
Not bad. That was like 3:30-ish. Which is like fine considering things were kind of falling apart.
Your boy's got a Hyrox coming up here in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks.
What are you going to do?
What do you mean? Like in training?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely starting to do a little more more burpee broad jumps, more heavy sled pushes, more heavy sled pulls, get my endurance kind of back to where it needs to be for that. I've been touching on it just enough to kind of keep it, you know, at a solid baseline. But now I'm like, okay, like I got a race coming up in 5 weeks. I need to bump that up. So today I did like hybrid, I call it hybrid endurance. So I did like, you know, rowing, skiing, running, sled pushes, sled pulls, but like the weight wasn't super heavy. It was all about just building endurance in it, yeah, you know?
Yeah. I call those like Hyrux tempos, just long duration pieces of sub race pace, keeping things easy, just working through the motions. And I think that's, yeah. I moved away from those things this past year, and my workouts weren't getting above like 60 minutes, probably 65 minutes of like higher intensity pieces. And I think I did just kind of let that long grindier stuff just kind of go. And my runs weren't very long either. And I think I paid for that.
Yeah. I think it's key to in those sessions. Like it's not hard for your heart rate to spike while pushing a sled, you know, like I think it's okay to stop in the middle of a sled push. If the intention of the workout is for it to be zone two to zone three, if you start tapping into that zone four, just freaking stop, just take 10, right, 20 seconds and let your heart rate drop, you know, 5 to 10 beats or whatever, and then continue on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, cause that happened today. I mean, it's hot as crap outside too. So that's a kind of an external factor, you know, that you got to take into account.
Not going to be cool and breezy in Dubai.
No, it ain't.
That's for sure.
They better have those, they got the money. They better have those AC, that AC bill is going to be running high.
They better have like cooler, like those things, the NFL players wear, like the vests for you in the warm-up area, all the bells and whistles. I wonder if they're going to take care of you guys.
I don't know, man. I don't know who else is going. They won't. So they invited me out. So I'm the only reason I'm going is because they're paying for my trip. And I was like, who else is going? Who else have you invited? And they wouldn't tell me. So
have you been doing some recon?
A little bit, but I don't think anyone's going, dude.
No.
I don't know if they're reaching out to those influencers that we were talking about last week, but
that'd be great.
That would be great.
That'd be like two stones. Be like, see? But that's a great photo op for influencers, man. Get out there, get at the Burj Khalifa, just looking yoked. Just like, also, I walk upstairs hybrid athletics. I don't just lift weights and run. I also walk upstairs.
I'll tell you one thing I'm not looking forward to is that flight, bro. It's a long trip, man.
I know. You were, because when I was booking...
I was just going to say, I'm landing on Thursday night and the race is going to be Saturday. So I'm only going to have like a day to just kind of regroup and then go hammer. It was either that or try to get out there way early. And, you know, I'm not going to leave my family for that amount of time.
This is a race like that early.
Championships, you know?
No, for race that early and you already have like the qualifiers and stuff like that. It doesn't really matter if you run well, but you got to get that cake.
Got to get that cake, dude, but keep it on hush, man.
Well, it's invite only. I guess I could, if I rolled up there, because you were saying you were trying to convince me, he's like, hey, come to Dubai instead of the flights are like, they're a little bit more expensive, but not that much more than even Spain was. But just thinking about it, like it was a full day of travel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not great.
I thought the prize money was a little bit secret, but turns out they've actually posted it on their Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So should be no secret. $2,500 for first place, $1,500 for second, and $1,000 for third, which is
more than any other Hyrux.
Yeah. So if you get a free trip out of it, snag $2,500, I'll take it.
Yeah. And we were just in Dubai, and I'm not like dying to go back, honestly. And I was like, with the travel, either. I was like, I don't think I'm going to do that. But those sleds, man, they might be like all butter. They might be.
They could be.
They might just line. But what if the carpet's just dollar bills? I bet the freaking sled pushes really well over dollar bills.
You're going to be so disappointed if like I go run like, because I'm not in great shape right now. I'm in good enough shape to go do well. But if I just go and run like a 55,
I know.
You're going to be like, God damn it, I should have went.
I was looking at the Madrid results from last year, and it was like John Wynn, Jeff Wasson, and Tiago. They were all there, and they all ran like 60, like on the nose. I was like, oh man. And those guys who ended up running, it was early in the season, and those guys clearly got better and better, and they ended up running in the 56s and 57s in the last season. So I'm like, man, if I go, but I still need to get a course. It doesn't matter like where it is, really. I need to run a race before the Chicago race. So I might as well like roll the dice with Spain because it has been faster.
What weekend is that again?
September 20-something? 23rd, maybe?
September 23rd. So the week after DECA Orlando.
So I probably won't do Orlando.
I thought that race was going to be stacked, and it seems like kind of like how West Palm was last year. It was the last race before the Worlds. Everyone showed up, and it seems like that's not going to be the case this year because you'll be gone. Ryland will most likely be in Vermont because that's the same weekend as the Spartan Race North American Championships. So,
oh yeah, you think? Well, that might just be for age groupers.
Nah, dude. Nah, it's basically what Kelowna was last year, but now it's moved to Vermont.
I don't think so. I think Pan Am. I think this Mexico race is that for the 3K series. And I think Vermont is, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought, or it's the long course. I thought it was the age group.
I've been out of the loop for so long that.
You've been told you can't come to Mexico.
So can't come to Mexico.
But I'm going nowhere. I'm going to not pay attention.
Speaking of Spain, dude, we just had a DECA fit in Spain.
We did.
And we had some pretty high performers in High Rocks participate in this thing.
We did.
And the times were a little unimpressive, to say the least. And I don't know the layout. I don't know the course setup. You know, some of these movements too, if you haven't practiced them, you can lose some time, but it was a lot of time.
You can't lose that much time. I think that course was slow. I know it was three laps for the 500, so that's a lot of turns. And that's not a great way to kind of get up to speed. And I don't know what those tanks are like. I was talking to Tom Hogan a little bit online because I was asking him, I was like, how long did that take you? He said it took him like 3 minutes. So They're not the Torque brand. If you're pushing 3 minutes here, like you're like actually stopping, right? You're like stopping and like waiting to do it. Like if you push it continuous, even if you push it slow, you're probably still going to do it in like 2:40, 2.5, you know? So I think it's definitely slow. Jack ran a little bit of numbers, and we'll probably touch on a race brain a little bit, but we'll probably talk more about the Pan Am games, whatever. He was thinking it was like 45 seconds to a minute slow.
Which still puts, I mean, Alphonse, your boy Alphonse took the dub.
Dude, he might be that guy. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, we're like, what if we have the same kind of skill sets? Like our High Rocks time is about the same now. And now he's that dude over in DECA in Europe. Can't be beat. So we're like the same dude.
Hey, yeah. And then we had
props.
Next up, I don't know who the second and third place guys were, but we had Jonathan Wynn, who was right behind me at World Championships. He took fourth place with a 33.59, which again, I just...
Second and third were Spanish dudes, or I don't know. I actually don't know who those guys are. Never mind. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. I would have expected him to be much faster than that. And then we had Michaela Norman coming in fifth overall with a 34.07, which
is pretty good.
I think is one of, what's the world record? 33?
33 mid, 33.20.
She's going to be, dude, she could 100% be a factor in DECA fit.
If she decides to come over for it, like she's definitely pushing for the podium. I don't think she's beating Meg or even like Tara has the record. Or even Tara for that matter, but it's a really good time, especially if it is 30 to 40 seconds slow.
Yeah. And then 12 seconds behind her, we had our boy, Tommy Hogan.
Holler.
And then Graham Holiday was ninth with a 34.53. So
And Graham was
Michaela just beat two guys that were in the Hyrox Elite 15.
I know.
In DecaFit.
Be one of like, because Graham got was fifth, I think. Right? And Jonathan was sixth?
No, Graham was sixth. John was fifth.
Oh, really? John beat him. Oh my goodness.
Wait, maybe I am messing that up.
We'll get IT on it. But Tara was 32-44. See, Jane can pull this thing up. But either way, fifth and sixth, one way or another, in Hyrox. And Michaela just gave him that business.
She did.
And like Deca, I think is scaled less than Hyrox would be for the female, because they still have to do 25 cals on that bike. And that is usually in CrossFit. If they were doing 25 cals for men, the women would probably have to do like 21. And I wonder how she's cranking on that thing.
I think big picture, it tells you that Deca and Hyrox are not the same.
Not the same. And I think that we could explain it away, but how we came out to our first race for Hyrox last year in LA and just got murdered by the course. Nobody did well that race. You won. I ended up a second because Ryland was out there cheating. So we got killed. Mm-hmm. And I think the community kind of looked at it like, DecaFit doesn't translate, or they had a bad time because they were focused on DecaFit. And this just shows, like, if you're not focused on DecaFit, like, you're not going to do well. It's not like, oh, I'm good at Hyrox, I'm going to come in. And it's just a lesser version of it. It just stings too hard. It's a different system. If you want to actually do really well in Deca, you have to do Deca specific work.
And like you mentioned, you know, when we were talking about the compromised running versus the compromised stations, the compromised running part in Deca is like magnified, you know, compared to Hyrox. And running actually does matter.
Yes.
You know, a lot of these really good Hyrox athletes, they don't need to run much faster. They can run 6:10, 6:15 pace.
Yeah.
And still be a factor in the race. But if you can't run 5:30s, if you can't run 16-minute 5Ks, the likelihood of you being at the same level in Deca, it's your odds are not in your favor.
For sure. It is so much more of a running event, even though it's less running. So if you're not as good at running, you might think, oh, this might be better for me. You just can't make up that time on the stations. The stations aren't long enough. The running's too fast. And you could probably blow. I'm sure with those type of times that those dudes ran, they were probably not feeling great coming into that assault bike, and then coming out of that assault bike was probably a nightmare. And like, you know, they probably did zero prep.
Right. And it leads me to ask the question, why don't you think our boy Hunter wants to come out here and step into the Deca arena?
Deca arena. Huh?
We're all here, bro. All the big names, we're out here doing it, except you. Where you at?
What does he have to prove? You know?
I don't know. I think he's a competitive person, and I think if he thought he could do, I know he's made fun of Deca, but I think if he really thought he could come in and do well, he'd be here.
I think he would do well. I think he would do really well. I think he'd be a problem.
Maybe in Deca strong and Deca mile for sure. Deca fit.
He can run.
I want to see it. That's my boy, but come on.
I would like to see
it. He's busting his ass on those box jumps. He's tripping over his feet.
That might be the thing that we have in advance, the athleticism, the side to side.
The lateral movement.
The lateral movement. And the lunges might be a little bit, take him a little bit of time. He's big body. The athleticism piece might not be in his favor. But do you think he does worse than you on that on the assault bike?
No.
The ski, I mean, he's probably doing 142s, 141s, you know, like, I think he would be an issue.
But think of how long it's taken, not just me, but other athletes to drop their times. Like, do you think he could come in immediately and run an 1105 Deco Strong on his first attempt?
Maybe not, because of just how sharp you do have to be on that end of the training spear to really get into that type of spiciness. So maybe not that, but I think eventually. I mean, I think if he comes in, does a Deca fit after he did High Rocks Worlds, I mean, 29 flat for at least, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I don't think he'd be like running away with it by any means.
No. I think it would be interesting to watch him race it, because there would be a lot more of like people around him, and like he'd have to, like how he's been able to just be so assertive so early in High Rocks. There's nowhere for him to really do that in Deca. So I don't think he would get away the way that he mm-hmm. does, the way he has in High Rocks. So I think it'd be fun. It'd be awesome to race him.
I think he'd be the only guy that I can see beating me in Deca Strong. You know, a lot of people put, you know, they'll name CrossFit athletes. They'll name guys like Rich Ryan. I'm like, not a chance.
As strong?
Zero chance.
I got second.
Hunter would be a problem for sure.
I think Colin Stiefer and Marcus Wallace are going to be a problem in Deca Strong.
Dude, our boy, I'm starting to call him our boy, but he's still your boy. Marcus Wallace did the mile hybrid.
Yeah, he smashed it too.
And dropped like a 10, what was it, 10?
10:25, I thought.
10:25?
It was like under what we, I want to ask him how he did those deadlifts, because I think I would get caught up on those deadlifts, I think, a little bit. Not too much, but I think I probably have to do like fives. I wonder if he did like,
I don't know much about him, but he's impressing me from a distance. I need to see him, you know, when the stakes are high.
For sure. And,
you know, like anyone can put together a good workout in training, but, you know, what's it going to be? And I know he's done some stuff with Bracken, and I love what he's doing over there at Hybrid Fitness Media. Let's see him out there, dude. Let's see him out on course.
Did you see there's a St. Louis road show?
Yeah, I saw that.
So that's new, which is great for the Midwest contingent, because the Indiana one, I mean, that's like Fort Wayne, which is not that easy to get to. It's not like a major metro. St. Louis, it's at First Form, the First Form HQ, which would kind of be cool. They'll probably get some influencers out there, maybe. That'd be great. Have them get at it. I want to see all the influencers do all the races. Do you ever notice when they do the races, they never like post about it? They never like post how they did?
Well, that was I got a ton of messages after last week's episode, and that was kind of the common denominator amongst most of the feedback that I got, was that most of these hybrid influencer types don't want their fans and their followers to see them not do well in something, and then kind of them being superhuman, like that's taken away, mm-hmm. you know, because all of a sudden they just got smashed in an event with real athletes, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, maybe this dude isn't as much of a badass as we thought. That seemed to be, I got a lot of those.
I mean, it makes sense. Like if you're not training for an event and you don't care to be an athlete, then, and like you're selling programs that are for hybrid athletes, it wouldn't look good. And if you don't need, like, it's helpful for us to race, right? Like if we are going to sell programs or whatever, build a brand, like we're going to have to build it around that. These people already have hundreds of thousands of followers, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I think that they're just good with that. Like, but yes, I think it was Taylor Haney put it in a good way. I forgot exactly. I could pull it up, but basically like if you do an event, like you're an athlete, which I agree, we agreed on that. But is it specifically racing, like hybrid racing? So this is just the wording again. It's screwing me up.
Yeah, we need a good definition, right?
Yeah, or just something else, to distinguish it. Like, because hybrid racing is not what I'm sure High Rocks doesn't want it to be even called that. They don't want to be lumped into that. They want to be High Rocks, right? Mm-hmm. The way the Spartan Race thinks that they are what OCR is. They are like, they don't even really acknowledge other things. Like, they think it's them. I kind of think that's how High Rocks is too.
It doesn't help that they have half of the word already in their name.
Yeah, that's true.
High Rocks.
not HIGHROCKS, which I get quite a bit.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Dude, I got grit games coming up in 2 weeks.
With that race brain workout, it's just going to give you the business. You're asking me all about it last night. I told you all the wrong stuff.
That'll be fun though, man. It'll be different than anything I've ever done.
Are you not really prepping for it at all?
A little bit. I threw in some bucket carries today in my hybrid endurance workout, low intensity.
Cause that workout's going to be pretty brutal. I think that carry workout, mm-hmm. should be good for you.
I realistically think I can win 3 of the 4 events. I don't plan on winning the obstacle course. I just plan to damage control mm-hmm. more or less there. Mm-hmm. And just kind of see where that puts me.
Cause it's the first event is, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like you start with 400. It. Okay. It's like very carry forward, right? It's like there's a 400 and then basically it's 200 meters of carries or some sort of like tire flip or like log flip or something. Mm-hmm. For 20 minutes, 20 minute AMRAP.
Yep. It's a 20 minute AMRAP, 400 meter buy-in, and then it goes right into a 200 meter bucket carry. Men 90 pounds, women 70 pounds. Station 2 is TBA. And then 200 meter sandbag shoulder carry, 90 pounds for men, 70 pounds for women. 10 sandball over the shoulders, 100 pounds for men, 80 pounds for women. 200 meter farmer carry, 55 pounds for men, 45 for women.
It could take you like 4 minutes.
One heavy Herc hoist. I don't think anyone's getting 4 rounds. Three's possible for sure, but I don't think anyone's getting 4. You're not going to do these. You might be able to knock out 2 rounds in 10 minutes, but you're not going to be able to maintain that pace or maintain that pace throughout. I know the farmers is only 55, but like it's just the wear and tear, the grind of the event. Like that's going to be a problem.
Plus, it's the first one. You might want to not go crazy on your grip on the first event of the day, right. You know. Then I think those sandball over shoulders will slow people down quite a bit. That's not going to be awesome. Just like extending violently. It's like a power movement in the middle of this endurance event. And that's what you're looking for.
I like that.
You start kicking people's balls out of their hands, letting people know.
Then we've got an O course, which is 14 obstacles.
Just a rig, 10, right?
10 to 20 meters of running in between each obstacle. And none of them really looked that problematic except for Gibbons. I've been over to VJ's house and practiced on his. And his actually moves. It's hanging from the structure. And it moves, but I've been told that the one in Texas is like bolted in. So it's easier as you're swinging into it, it's easier to clip it in place.
Mm.
Whereas the one in VJ's, it's constantly moving. So it's harder to find that right spot to drop it in.
Got it.
So if I get it over there, I should have no problem doing it.
You're saying like, instead of it, like going from like essentially what Gibbons is, it's like taking a ring that's swinging and just making another ring that's swinging. You're saying at grit, it's like more like a monkey bar, like you kind of put it on and then it's a fixed. Okay. That's great. Cause then you could even go bent arm.
I guess so. Yeah.
Maybe.
And VJ's too is it's further away too. You have to do a much harder swing, which obviously is going to make the timing be a lot more challenging. And I've been told the one at grit, it's the distance between each thing that you have to put the peg, a dowel.
Yeah.
Is I think only a few feet away. So you don't even have to like generate much of a swing power going into it, but that's the only one that could possibly bring any problems. All these other ones I've done in Spartan races and I don't foresee any issues there. I'm going to give VJ that one. He can win that event if he wants.
That's the actual like short course race, right? And then there's a rig.
No,
I thought there was two. I thought there was a, or maybe I'm wrong. So there's only 4 events. Okay. Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
So yeah, and then the other one is the burpee 400, which is essentially 8 rounds of a 400 meter run right into as many burpees as you can do until the timer hits 3 minutes.
Yep.
And then you start another round of 400 and you do that for 8 total rounds. So
weren't you going to test that?
I'm going to tomorrow.
You're going to do it tomorrow. That sucks. Yep.
So
that's shitty.
It's basically the winner is whoever gets the most amount of burpees.
Yep.
And I've got a strategy for this one. So I think
keep that close to the chest, or you're not trying to pop off.
I mean, I'll just say, I don't think the best way to maximize this workout is to try to run 80 second quarters or 90 second quarters. I think it's best to run at a pace that you feel confident that you can get into the burpees and just go to work, you know? And I think for me, I'd rather run 640 pace, come in at like 135 to 140, and then just have 80 seconds of hammering burpees, maximize the entire 3 minutes. And then I should be able to go right back into a 640 pace. If I had to go back into a 540 pace, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Hmm.
So I think managing your effort on the run and then cranking on the burpees is the move.
I've done this once, and I did do 80s. I was like, I'm doing 80s. That's how I roll. And I got like, and like, yeah, the burpees tailed off considerably, but my running kind of stayed the same. I got over 30 on the first time. And then I think it was like 27s averaged like 27s per round or something like that. What was that score?
That's good. I think it's going to take roughly 30 burpees per round to win that one.
Yeah. Okay. So 30 times 8, that's 240.
And doing 30 burpees in 80 to 85 seconds isn't like a crazy fast tempo. It's just work, you know, like not a lot of pausing, you know, but just staying consistent, not trying to really speed through them. Just keep the cycle moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I like it.
And then the last workout is a workout designed by the boys at Race Brain, which Woo! They kind of given us a little bit of details on, but I still don't know. It's essentially just, it's the endurance event, and it's going to be knockout style, to where after every round, it's going to be a little bit of running, some jumping over walls, a heavy carry, maybe some other things in there too. And then whoever's like the last one to complete each round will be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So then mm-hmm. you start back over, and then I assume you go directly back into the second round. There's no break or pause at the end.
There should be, because it was a take. Our initial idea was to make it a take off of the beep test. And then Kenny was like, well, Kenny had the idea. He had run something similar to this as well. And we didn't quite know what his full setup was looking like. Because we talked about walls, like running down, jumping over a wall, doing a task, running back in a set amount of time. And then as the workout progresses, you have less and less time to complete the run and the tasks, right? Like a beep test. Kenny's idea was like, okay, let's just make this like last man standing. So I think it's going to be a combination of that, just so you do have to kind of reset. And then you kind of have to go real hard at the jump.
It'd be like an interval workout more or less.
Which I think I really like the structure of that. I can't say that we came up with all that. We gave him like a very like loose skeleton of it. And then he was like, okay, we can do this, and this. So it's mostly his workout, but they do this sometimes at the CrossFit games. Last year, they did a workout where it was, they actually did a beep test in the pool with like swimming, and it was kind of confusing, but they did a workout where you sprinted like 100 meters, and then you did, I think, 20 wall balls, but at a higher target, and then did like 10 dumbbell snatches, like squat snatches, and the workout piece was over in like a minute, right? But it was so fast paced that any area that you screwed up, it would cost you so much time. So, and then they did, I think, 3 to 5 rounds of that, and it was like your accumulation of time at the end. So mm-hmm. it's similar to that, only you're off, you're eliminated. So I think it's gonna be awesome.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then we've got another, with all the hybrid events coming out these days, there's another one. And I'm not going to give too much away, but your boy's involved.
Woo.
Emails have been sent out to athletes.
People have said no.
People have said yes. We've got some heavy hitters, dude. We've got some real big heavy hitters coming in for this one. It's going to be a one-of-a-kind event. Looking forward to it. Going to be sometime this fall. Be on the lookout.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely keep talking about what that's going to look like, because I know loose details of it, and it sounds great. It sounds really cool. Not just saying it because my boy's involved, but it does actually sound cool.
It'll be fun for me to kind of be on the other side of it for once too. You know,
it's going to be, it could actually be fun. I wonder if you'll be more nervous because it's probably something you've never done. And like, oh man, if I screw this up, people are going to be looking at me. When you screw up in your own races, it's just like, whatever. No one really cares that much.
I ain't going to screw up, bro.
I believe you. I believe in you on that. Jonathan Wind was sixth at Worlds. Holiday. So
Graham was fifth.
And fifth. Close though. 58-41 and 58-50. Man, dude, you they were coming close to you.
Your boy was fading.
They caught that 10,000 clip, caught it really, really well, actually.
I didn't see. What do you mean? It caught them?
No, not them. It caught your finish.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That was footage I'd never seen before. And it looked, I mean, pretty crazy.
Yeah. It was wild. Fun to relive that.
Yeah, and some other stuff we got coming. We got together. We did some videos. The app is coming along. We said August 1st. That's like tomorrow. That ain't going to happen. But no. It's rolling along. And so
we got all the videos, film all the exercises, all the movements.
And just a little tease on what this app is going to be. It's going to have like specific workouts that you can do on the daily that will follow progression. And you could also jump into programs. Right now, the offerings that are available, it's either like you buy a program or you're in some sort of like group coaching thing, and neither are really optimal for the long term. So we're creating this app that's going to have everything you need in one spot. So I'm real excited about that. It's going to serve the community really well, I think. And again, with the prices, it's just super affordable. There's like, I think I'm really,
it's cheaper than Netflix.
It's cheaper than Netflix and way more entertaining.
Absolutely. Maybe. And there's a third party here. Meg Jacoby's
the homie
on the team as well
in there.
And hopefully we have it by the end of August.
That seems doable. And we have one spot remaining for the camp, preferably female at this point. But we have 9 of the 10 spots filled. That's going to be amazing. It's soon. So if you needed to get some travel accommodations coming, that's August 18th. Work on that now. Let us know. Link down on the bio.
You want to talk about nutrition next week? Let's talk about next week.
Yeah, let's talk about nutrition next week, dude.
Your boy eats honey buns before races.
Well, I'm like,
get into the details. We'll get into it.
I hit you with this question last night. I was like, dude, let's talk about nutrition. And you're like, trying to make me look bad out here. I'm like, it's like, look, you perform well. You look yoked, usually skinny, sometimes yoked. So something's working on the nutrition end of things. And I've gone through a lot of this as well, but like how it'd be dialed in or there's an intuitive sense that you can have for nutrition. And I think that's something that you have really been dialed into. It's just like knowing what your body needs and just doing what that is. Nothing more, nothing less. Not making it too complicated. Just like listening and doing it.
Dude, yesterday when we got done with that run, it was so hot that we sweat pounds out of our body.
Really?
VJ gets home. Look, so we immediately go to 7-Eleven afterwards and like, we get like a Coca-Cola and just like, you know, replenish the glycogen storage and all that stuff. And we were, dude, our faces were like pink, and we go into the cooler area in 7-Eleven and just like hang out in there for like 5 minutes.
Contrast.
Afterwards, therapy. we went back and weighed ourselves. VJ has been sitting in the 180s, low 180s, and he was 172 after that run.
Oh my goodness.
I've been sitting mid to upper 180s. I drank probably 2 to 3. I mean, I drank like 2 power lifts. I had a bunch of water. ate a big meal and then hopped on the scale and I was 180. So I was in the 170s at the end of that run.
And looking shredded.
I'm like, should I just like not eat for the rest of the day and just like try to lose a couple pounds here?
That's what you don't.
That is advice that I won't give.
If you're going to step on stage or at a photo shoot the next day, maybe. But if you want to perform well for the next week, not the move.
Yeah, especially like I said, in the summer, man, you gotta be careful with your hydration and your fueling because you can lose a lot out there, more than you think you would lose if you're not, you know, consistently stepping on the scale and checking it. You know, so had I not checked on it, I wouldn't have even, I mean, sure, I felt like crap, but immediately I was like, dude, I need to just keep pounding fluids, keep eating food and get myself back to ground zero.
Yeah, no, you have to like it, even if it feels like you're overdoing it in terms of that, because I had a Coke Classic today as well.
Dude, they're so good, man.
They're just like, it just doesn't make any sense. They're just like, it's something that is not from this world. The way that it tastes, you're like, this is the greatest tasting thing that's ever happened. Just chemicals designed to make your brain go nuts. And that shit works.
Hit the spot.
Oh yeah. I had 3 power lifts today. Yeah. I'm behind on my, today's a day where I need to get up after a little simulation in the middle of the day. I'm dragging a little bit, but we're making it work.
Well, dude, I think we wrapped up our first episode in under an hour.
Nice job, us. We did such a good job. Thanks for listening. Make sure to subscribe. Again, we're going to have some branding stuff kind of change. We'll keep you on the loop in terms of what that's all going to look like. But
we've really got a really cool name.
We do, I think. Maybe. Maybe we think. Maybe not. Maybe not. Cool squad. All right. Yep. Talk to you soon.
Catch you later.